is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday the 14th of November 2023 and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Let's get the show started with our Sand Dollar Live read. The Sand Dollar team is in Long Island. Today, Tuesday, November the 14th, at 6 p.m., you can learn about the digital Bahamian dollar at the community meeting being held at the NGM Major High School. Tomorrow, November the 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., experience Sand Dollar when you attend the team's top-up event at Sunflower Mart in Hamilton, Long Island. Download a Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and get a free $20 top-up. Spend $18 or more at Sunflower Mart and get $5 back on exit. Merchants interested in accepting Sand Dollar can schedule a one-on-one meeting by calling 302-9880 or by sending an email to sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. And of course, that is the website for the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit, SDAU, at centralbankbahamas.com. A good morning. Started the show with the song Hurricane by Phil Stubbs. And why? Well, because yesterday the Met Office issued a special weather statement. They issued it yesterday at noon. So I'm going to read from yesterday's statement. But that means that we must all pay attention to the news for the weather report, go online throughout the day to check weather conditions, particularly before we go on the road. So I want to read the entire weather statement, and we just could talk about it a little bit. I think this is important. Why? Because all of the social media platforms, you know, the spaces that we think are just where people troll and talk foolishness and be mean to other people, they're very useful. A lot of information, tons of information shared within these spaces. And if the weather report reached the social media pages on Facebook and thing, it means that people understand how important it is to pay attention to it. So I'm going to read from the special weather statement issued at noon yesterday, Monday, the 13th of November, 2023. A gale watch will come into effect for the extreme northwest Bahamas Tuesday evening, as last night, and for the remainder of the northwest and central Bahamas on Wednesday, that's today, the 15th of November. An excessive rainfall watch will come into effect Wednesday morning. The combination of a deepening low pressure in the northern Gulf of Mexico moving eastward, along with a mid-level low pressure and warm, deep tropical moisture from the Caribbean Sea, will act as a catalyst for excessive amounts of rainfall in the northwest and portions of the central Bahamas beginning on Wednesday, continuing through to early Friday. Therefore, residents in low-lying and flood-prone areas should begin to take the necessary precautions for possible localized flooding. Furthermore, the pressure gradient between the low-pressure system in the Gulf of Mexico and a strong high-pressure system over the eastern United States will generate hazardous marine conditions beginning Tuesday evening in the extreme northwest Bahamas, gradually reaching the remainder of the northwest Bahamas by Wednesday. The central and southeast Bahamas will be impacted on Thursday. Dangerous surf, battering waves, and life-threatening rip currents are expected to impact the extreme northwest Bahamas Tuesday evening. This effect will propagate southeastward to the remaining islands on Wednesday and Thursday. Moreover, due to continued onshore winds, minor coastal flooding is likely, particularly during the high tide cycle. Motorists and pedestrians are urged to exercise extreme caution when traversing north and east coastal roads due to overtopping waves and sea spray. Small craft operators are strongly advised to remain in port Tuesday evening, and beachgoers and swimmers are advised to remain on shore. The Bahamas Department of Meteorology is keenly monitoring a broad area of low pressure in the Southwest Caribbean Sea. The system is forecast to move northeastward and could bring squally showers to the southeast and central Bahamas along with the Turks and Caicos Islands on Friday and Saturday. The Bahamas Department of Meteorology will continue to monitor the system and will issue further updates if and when necessary. That statement was issued by the Chief Meteorological Officer at the Department of Meteorology, Siobhan Moxie Bonamy. I wanted to read that for a couple of reasons. So I got a text there that says, so what the Met is saying is we're going to see the same rough waters we see every fall, winter season. Yes, that's true. That's true. To you, Texter, how many of us pay attention to the weather and the weather reports and to weather generally to know that this is weather that we should expect at this time of the year? But another reason why I read that notice, I wanted to start with that one. Here is another report of sorts about rainfall. This is taken from media last night. The Euro model is now predicting 4.49 inches of rain for the New Providence area. Over in Grand Bahama, the Euro model is predicting 3.54 inches of rainfall. The models are now increasing the rainfall over both the extreme northwestern and northwestern Bahamas. That's why I wanted to read this report. Yes, Texter, we get the same sort of rough waters every fall, winter. But what we're seeing, I think, is increased flooding with rainfall. And that has become particularly treacherous for those of us in low-lying areas. I remember the flooding, extreme flooding in Exuma this summer, and the negative impact, the damage caused by excessive rainfall, and I want to say our lack of preparation for these weather events. My texter said they do. They actually do follow weather patterns, right? I call myself an agriculturalist. I am keenly following the weather, not like you, Texter, just through observation, because I'm always tracking fruit production. And one of the ways to track fruit production is to check the trees at blossom time, right? So I'm constantly watching trees to see when they're pushing out blossoms and then monitoring the wind activity, right? And so our mango production, our mango season this year was very short because we had lots of wind at mango blossom time and lots of trees lost blossoms. In fact, near where I live, there's a tree. The side of the tree that faces the east, the northeastern shoreline, right? That side of the tree had no mangoes on it. None. One half of the tree was completely bare of mangoes. The other half of the tree that was right on the other side of the wind, filled with mangoes. Same thing for the Ganep season this year. I don't know if you guys noticed, we had an extremely short Ganep season. We had an extreme, I mean, almost a non-existent hog plum season this year. I was unable to purchase even a case of hog plum this year. And all of that is partly because we have seen an increase in strong winds when these trees are pushing out blossoms. I get a text here that says, Miss Green, we as Bahamians did not take COVID seriously. We don't take hurricanes seriously, so we won't take that seriously. We don't take nothing seriously. Their text, I like that word you use, seriously, right? Because I don't want to say Bahamians just lack empathy and respect for other people. I don't want to say that we are culturally and collectively corrupt, right? I think that's an unfair label to place on the table, right? I don't want to say that we are collectively ignorant or stupid, but I think you have the word that sums it up, Texter. We are unserious about this life. Unserious. That's the word right there. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green again. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you, Sparky. How you do?
I take, from what I see into, I remember years ago where people didn't believe in this climate change.
Mm-hmm.
But from, I think it was Spiro Agnew, the vice president of the United States, when they were talking about that, that was him, eh?
Possibly.
One of them.
Remember, I was...
Nobody really used to take this serious, but as we see all these different changes in the rain patterns and the climate and everything, I've been noticing things around my yard, too, when you're talking about blossoms. I have a juju tree. It's called, I told you about this before, Filipino apple juju tree. They'd be very big,
yeah,
and very sweet, and certain times a year, they'd be swarming all over my yard, and all kind of people come down here,
yeah,
to get jujus. Never sold one. Just they come in their plastic bags and on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed a lot of the blossoms blowing off again this year.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing with this juju tree, it bears all year round.
Yeah.
Nearly every day I could go in my yard and pick up about five big juju.
I bet you it's about access to a water source. Same thing with the soursop, you know, Sparky. A soursop will bear year-round like a starfruit or a cherry if it has the right nutrients in the soil, right access to sunlight, and a sufficient water source.
Yeah, because like you said, I agree with you, because I noticed, like, when I moved down there, the first thing I said I was going to do before I fence in, I noticed I was pretty close to pond, but they call it our pond. I call it Sparky's Lake now.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that when we dug the well, because when I moved down here, the road was not paved, lampposts was not up, wasn't power. I was working with a generator and a pitcher pump.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do the pitcher pump, when I hit about 4 feet, 5 feet, I already had water.
Okay.
And I noticed most of the trees in my yard that I plant, if you've ever passed by, you could ask people about my yard. They grow extremely high. The banana trees are very high, and I got something called a golden finger banana, what they say is a cross between a plantain and a chiquita banana. Somehow they did it in Long Island, I don't know.
Nice.
I got it from a Miss Trico up Johanna Road.
Okay.
This back then, but 2006, she sold me a sucker for $25, a banana sucker.
Wow.
But it's all over my yard, you know, but down the suckers go, they just keep spreading and growing.
Perpetual engine.
Yeah, and it's not a tree. I found out a banana. It's a banana plant. Is not a tree.
Yeah.
It's something else they call it, but it's not a tree. Like, it doesn't
like
have a
herb.
Bark or nothing like that.
Yeah, it's like almost like an herb.
Yeah, but I noticed all the trees been very, most of the fruits are very long, like the Russell pear, what do we call it, bottleneck pear?
Yeah, yeah.
Mine be about 12 to 13 inches long and very wide and on most of the stuff. But the jujus are very big, so that's what you're saying, but the water, apparently most of my trees have an ample supply of water on a constant basis.
Yeah.
So when I came down here first, before I did, I bought in trucks and trucks of soil, because down in the back here was old curry. Most of my neighbors, they just, you could still see the curry in their yard.
Sparky,
in my yard, I bought in trucks and trucks of soil.
Sparky, I gotta go. I gotta move on. But I want to thank you for that. You reminded me of something that I think that we are also not thinking about. We're also not, at least, we're not having a conversation that emanates or escapes the professional technical realm, right? One thing I noticed this year, like last year into this year, with excessive rainfall and flooding, is that I think that our underground terrain is also shifting, right? Like I'm seeing water settling, well, water sinking, right? So water draining into the ground in different areas of land, right? Land, I'm at people's yards, farm areas, just watching how the water is moving differently across the surface of the land and where the water settles. And then when there's excessive rain, where you can see areas where the water can no longer penetrate the ground, right? Like the ground is just completely and totally saturated. And I wonder to what extent our technocrats are observing and assessing shifting in the underground terrain. I say this constantly. I live on the northern foreshore, right? Right off the northern foreshore. And water and sewage is constantly in that area tending to what I imagine are breaks and leaks in underground systems, and I bother them, I imagine, to no end by asking them, is anyone at Water and Sewerage conducting seismic assessments? Do we have a constant monitoring program that Water and Sewerage can tie in to determine the extent to which their infrastructure is being impacted by increased seismic activity in the region? So I got a text here that says, what is Sparky talking about when he says people don't believe in climate change? The climate is always changing, nothing new. Okay, that's a great point, Texter. Thank you. One of the things we don't talk about is how much of what we're experiencing is due to climate change initiated by man's activity on the planet, whether it is just the production of carbon or through industrial production of carbon and pollutants, polluting waterways with byproducts and contaminants from factory production, or right? That's one consideration. And to what extent is what we are experiencing actually a natural phenomenon, a part of a cyclic activity, right? What if the increased winds we're seeing, this happens every 1,000 years. It happens every 2,000 years. Beyond our capacity to measure, right, a pattern. Texas says, we have a global warming prime minister who travels the world collecting carbon credits. You don't think our country's straight? No, see, but that's, man, Texas, that's a whole nother conversation. He's not collecting carbon credits, I don't think. That's another conversation, but thank you, Texter. A Texter said, where do you purchase a case of hog plums and juju? Good quality, not the mushy, overripe fruit. Well, you could always call me. I don't know, but I don't want to, I can't like advertise. I'm going to have to do a farmer's market show or an agriculture-specific show. But there are, always check the boats coming in from the family island, just like I tell you, for vendors who are selling produce. There are a couple of people, I'm going to highlight this one, just because I talked about the PLP bad when I ready. Home Fabrics has taken it upon themselves to provide a retail space for local fruit. As a vendor of local fruit, I'm not upset. I don't see them as competing with me or me having to compete with them. But what it does is that it opens up access to local produce, fruit in particular. And what that does is that helps to preserve the culture. Right? It's a grander pursuit. By increasing accessibility to local produce, we preserve the culture. The more you taste it and remember it, the more you're likely to look for it again, the more you're likely to share it with your children, the more you're likely to talk about it, to identify the tree when you see it, to encourage people not to cut it down, right? This is how we preserve fruit culture. So I don't see them as a competitor, even though I'm a small fry and they the whole happy meal, right? I don't see it as a negative thing because they boost what it is that I do. But you can, dear people. The pandemic totally disrupted the way that we normally access local fruit, which is true to Rastaman on the side of the road, right? The pandemic totally disrupted that, but there are vendors, there are farmers that work very hard to make their fruit available. But I tell you what, I forgot. I buy a bag of juju yesterday by the mall. I want to say thank you, Rasta, for having the fruit out there. And just in case you forgot, your daily reminder, like Sparky said, juju is in the apple family. It's like an apple hybrid. And you can make juju sauce to replace your apple sauce. And you can use your juju sauce to replace eggs in pastries. If you are vegan, Seventh-day Adventist, don't eat animal products of any kind. That's how valuable juju is. Another texter said, I find it interesting how the PM is all over the world complaining about climate change and first world oil dependency while he's busy burning up all the bunker sea. We got some, we call it discrepancies, some spaces where we are not congruent. That's the word. Anyway, back to the weather report. I imagine that the Ministry of Works, Beaches and Parks, have Department of Health and, is it the Department of Health and Hygiene? Anyway, I imagine that garbage, sanitation, maintenance, and sanitation engineers have been incentivized to speed up their routes and collect as many stops as possible before the rain starts. I hope the Ministry of Works, Beaches and Parks, they are actively clearing drains. They are identifying low-lying areas that have excess trash and waste in an attempt to remove them before they become a larger hazard to the public. And then I want to ask some questions to the general public about traversing these conditions. Because I realized that the driving school stopped teaching us how to drive through standing water. There's a lot of things that people are not learning in the driving schools anymore. And one of them is how to drive through standing water. Here's another thing I realize we need to begin thinking about seriously. Do we need to amend the Road Traffic Act to require vision testing at regular intervals? Do we need to amend the Road Traffic Act to require vision testing at regular intervals? Now, this is going to sound long and drawn out, but I can make it quick. See, the economy, to function at its maximum capacity, requires the effective and efficient movement of goods, peoples and services, right? Now, watch this. If every time that it rains, the movement of goods, people, and services is severely impacted because people decide that in the rain, they could only drive at 5 miles an hour, we have a massive problem in this country. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. I just called to give a live contribution.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Green, I decided to take up the guy off on the deep science venture.
Yes, sir. Okay.
The application, you know, to see what could happen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, and you know, the thing is, I like that idea, but there's a guy called Richard Pancott, who's a professor from Graz University in Austria, right? Who said from 2008, because I have a copy of the Philadelphia Trumpet before me, this is in my archive, my personal archive, who said that they really wanted to put people to death for denying the climate change and carbon is a greenhouse gas, any carbon deniers. They have another guy saying that they will charge people who deny the climate change as being a crime against humanity. But we know that the climate is changing, but what I hate is the level of ignorance, which is very, very, very high, and the fact that we are not studying previous data. So he had data from the 1860s or 40s and up.
Yeah.
And so what it actually shows, and they know this, that the climate has always been changing even before the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so they find a way to make a naive person who's not well, whatever, in chemistry, to believe that carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas and that it poses a problem to humanity. Now, here's the facts. Let me give you one example, because I can send you some literature anyhow. I don't know about Senator Badusi and the Senate. I'd like for you to read the literature because I respect you and your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what it says now. It gives you a reason. Anyone who did acid salts and bases in high school can know that the seawater is designed. It's basically almost it's alkaline because it's 8.2 or 8.1.
Mm-hmm.
It actually decreased 0.1. So being the fact that the pH scale is logarithmic, right, Ms. Green?
Mm-hmm.
That means that it's 10 times more. So, I mean less. I mean it's more. Every time it decreases 0.1. So now what happens is you have the bicarbonate and the carbonate ions responsible for buffering capacity of seawater, which simply means that the seawater has the capacity to buffer acidification.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they're duping humanity. Why is it that they're controlling the narrative? This is an article from 2008, Philadelphia Trumpet, you know. So this group, this is why they talk about it, but people who deny what they're saying. We know that the climate is changing, but it is not for the reason that they're saying. This is all a financial construct. I'll repeat it over and over until the day I die. And because they don't want to differentiate the difference between anthropogenic carbon or even see that and carboniferous carbon and see if it makes any difference, because they cannot detect it, right, because of the isotopes. And then they want to, how would you tax? So that means you're taxing the carbon dioxide that they breathe out too. You see the imbecility behind this particular narrative, right? It's sickening for me, Ms. Green. I'll send you the literature.
Thank you.
I'm ready to have a dialogue with the best of the best.
Absolutely. Let's put together a panel. Because, you know, indigenous peoples around the planet have been telling us for decades and decades and decades that what we're experiencing is also a natural phenomenon of planetary function, and a part of that is just planetary shift. The planet is just shifting on its axis, right? I mean, I with you 52, let's open up the conversation. It's not just wild conspiracy theorists talking. We have tons and tons of data from indigenous sources showing indigenous reasoning and reconciling with the earth, right? Engagement with the earth. Somebody said to me, my son, Mark, got taken away when he drove into the next lane instead of through the water slowly. Oh, you telling me to be quiet about this need to learn how to drive through standing water, hey? Yeah, see, we have a problem. Let me tell you where the problem is rooted. We have a vision, we have an eye vision problem. We have a problem with our eyesight collectively. Something has happened, whether it's because of our high incidence of an experience of diabetes and predisposition to diabetes. But we got an eyesight problem in the Bahamas. We got an eyesight problem in New Providence. And I put to you, Texter, that the majority of people driving slowly through the water are driving slowly, A, because they don't understand how cars and water works together, but B, because they have poor vision, they have poor eyesight, and they can't see the road clearly through the standing water. And so they drive very slowly so as not to put their car in a pothole that they cannot pull it out of. Right? That's a part of it. Vision is a big part of it. See, because what I learned was if you're driving through standing water, the most important thing to remember is once you've reached a particular speed, you need to maintain that speed or increase it. If you decrease the speed while you are in the standing water, like the wake, the water can rush back up into your exhaust pipe and mash up your car, right? And so when you are in a line moving through standing water, the most important thing is for the line to maintain the proper speed, right? Maintain a speed to assess the distance between the cars, the car in front of you, the car behind you, so you can maintain your speed as you're driving through the standing water. But dear Bahamians, we're talking about 3 inches of water. We're talking about 4 inches of water, and we're talking about 11-inch tires, 12-inch 13. We got a massive problem here. Now you say, Aaron, just because you get upset about it, why is that a problem for everybody else? It's a problem for everybody else because the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to and the lifestyle that you have prepared your children to attain is wholly dependent on the efficient and effective movement of goods, people, and services. These grandiose lives that we want to live are dependent on the ability of people to move themselves, their goods, and their services efficiently and effectively throughout the archipelago. That's it. You telling people it's not the government's job to take care of you. You must take care of yourself and figure out how to make ends meet. But how can you make a dollar out of 50 cents if you can't move anywhere? So effectively what Bahamians have said is, I don't care about your life, your job, your business, the tasks, the goals you have to hit every day. I don't care. I don't care that I am a part of the system that you rely on to make ends meet. I do what I want on this road. This becomes particularly frustrating when it rains. Because we have this other thing that we've picked up in the Bahamas, which is, if I can't see while I'm driving, that means I'm supposed to slow my car down as much as possible to navigate the roadway. And I want to bring this to your attention. If you can't see the roadway clearly while you're driving, what you're required to do is park your car until you can see the roadway. That's it. If visibility is so poor that you got to drive at between 5 and 7 miles an hour, it means that you have a problem with your vision and you need to park your car. That's it. That's all. That's it. That's all. Did y'all know that obstructing traffic was an offense? I mean, it's hard to tell because the police have decidedly stopped enforcing a lot of the traffic controls. Mind you, I do have a story from last week's media where the road traffic department announced their new road traffic department officers, their traffic enforcement officers. In particular, one new feature is they'll be wearing a special uniform. They have a white long sleeve, I think, tunic-like shirt that they will be wearing. So there seems to be some positive movement from that direction, but not fast enough. Not fast enough. Because people have taken to some horrible practices on the road. For example, if you're a police officer and you feel like being petty and giving out tickets today, just go stop at Mackey and Shirley Street intersection and count how many people willfully turn right on red. Now, see, when I say willfully, here's what I am intimating. There's a curve, right? When you come from the bridge up Mackey Street to the Shirley Street intersection, there are two lanes. The right westbound lane onto Shirley Street, there's like a curve in the road. And so you have to be at the intersection to see the light, whether it's red or green. Now, that light and that curve have been there now for at least 5 years, right? I think a minimum of 5 years. So everybody except for tourists and 7 people from the family island know about that intersection. They know that they have to slow down as they approach the intersection because they won't be able to tell if the light is red or green until they get to the intersection. What has been the response from a large percentage of Bahamians? Well, I ain't designed a road with a curve. How am I supposed to know what the light is? And you expect me to be able to slow down if I have to run the light? That has been the actual response of Bahamians at that intersection. Here's where it gets better. Dear Road Traffic Department, have you authorized the drivers of commercial and corporate vehicles, you know, the kinds that have their business logo clearly displayed on the side of the vehicle, have you authorized them to ignore basic traffic controls like red lights and stop signs? Pedestrian crossings and sidewalks? I just want to know. Because I too will find out how to wrap my vehicle in a company logo so I could practice foolishness on the road. Dear employers, are y'all not penalizing your drivers for breaking basic traffic controls with your company logo emblazoned across the vehicle? Are y'all not shame? Shame. And if shame doesn't hold you, are you not concerned of the legal consequences? I'm just wondering. We're going to go to a break. Let me get back from the break. Get back to some texts. And then I'm going to ask y'all one trivia question. Let me get back from this break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. I got a caller on deck. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think you got water in your line. But listen, I can't. Here's what I need you to do, my friend. Call back. They mean to put water in your line, so I can't hear you properly.
The CIA got you talked to, but see, what I'm trying to say is that ain't nothing wrong with my line. It's the ideology. When you preach an ideology to try to help these people, it causes problems in the nation. Now listen to this.
Caller, for real. I need you to call back. We can't hear you clearly.
I know
you could hear me, but I know that the listeners can't make out clearly what it is you're saying. Try again. Yes, I know you could hear me, but I can barely hear what you're saying. I need you to... No. Hang up and call back.
All right, then.
Yeah, man. I'm serious.
I'll clear a line one day.
Yeah.
All right.
Call right back, man. Let's try it. Call right back. There's something I want to say... Put water in your line. Yeah, see, you said it. I know that everybody should know that the U.S. government acknowledged that they have access to every telephone call in the Bahamas. We just seem to be unserious here from the top straight down. Unserious. That's the word. Unserious. Unserious. Texas says, you know when you to wake and sneak in a text, his driving test mark was less not wanting to drive through the water, but going in the next lane. Oh, where the water was less. Did he use, so the text is saying that he was trying to avoid the water and he'd gone into, did he use his turn signal? Right, did he change lanes properly? Because that's an offense is... not changing lanes properly is also an offense. But yeah, y'all can't drive in water. I was trying to be polite about it. But I am willing to concede that it's a larger problem. The first is we have a collective vision problem. I want you to raise your hand if you have had to wait more than a year for an appointment for an eye test. Raise your hand if you had to wait more than a year for an appointment for an eye test. And how many people are having their eyes tested regularly, and what's the availability of vision testing and vision services, vision health services in the public healthcare system? And again, is it time that we require vision testing at regular intervals for road users? But if we do that, do we have to ensure that vision testing is accessible by the average citizen? These are all all-important text. Text to say, hey, can we... They want to... Okay, they're saying that the vendors on the roadside are a hazard. The vendors on the roadside can become a hazard. Absolutely. I'm scared for the vendors that are in the roadway on the marathon side going south and north, right? I'm scared for them all the time. All the time. But I was at a red light, and I was in the lane most closest to the side of the road. Plus, I was conducting scientific research for the nation. That's what I was doing. But back to this weather thing. I really don't think that we're serious enough about it. And text, I like that word you gave me. You're not the first person, young critical thinker Natino Thompson, also sort of raised the word I was looking for to encapsulate a thought, an idea, that's what's wrong with us. Be unserious, be serious. Just quickly as we end the show, look at this headline. Delta flight to Eleuthera forced to turn back. A flight to North Eleuthera from Atlanta had to turn around due to airport weather station issues last week. Jeffrey Simmons, acting director of the Department of Meteorology, explained that the department's automated weather station at the North Eleuthera Airport had been damaged by a lightning strike and was unable to transmit weather information to incoming planes. Due to this, Delta flight heading from Atlanta to North Eleuthera last Wednesday got as far as Central Florida before returning to Atlanta due to a lack of weather information. Mr. Simmons said Delta was en route and they turned back. He added that once Civil Aviation and the Department of Meteorology were made aware of the situation, a technical team was dispatched to Eleuthera to access and repair the damage the following day. What do you mean when they became aware of it? So they only became aware of it after the flight turned back around? Nobody was aware that the station had been hit by lightning or that it was damaged? Like, even if you didn't know why it wasn't functioning properly, nobody was aware that it wasn't functioning properly? You telling me a whole plane load of people, goods, and cargo and services had to turn around on its way to Eleuthera from Atlanta? This is an example of unserious, right? Another headline I want to read from The Guardian this time. PM, Nygaard had friends on both sides of political divide. Unserious. Unserious. With disgraced fashion mogul Peter Nygaard being found guilty of multiple counts of sexual assault in a Canadian court, PM Davis asserted that Nygaard had friends on both sides of the political divide and suggestions that he was only close to the PLP government are, quote unquote, bollocks. We don't care about how many FNM and PLP friends he had. What we care about are the allegations and the suggestions that thousands of Bahamian women, girls, and boys, young men, may have been victims of a nasty system of predation. You worried about if he had PLP and FNM friends? We don't care. That's what you call unserious. Now, I will say that I read a part of the article, and the Prime Minister does speak to the exploitation of young girls, and he calls it dastardly and abhorrent. But for a man that has the entire purse, the entire treasury in his hands, he could say more than he finds the exploitation of young girls dastardly and abhorrent. He could have taken his Minister of National Security to task when he stated emphatically that a 7-year-old can consent to sex, even though the law will not recognize it as such. You want us to believe that you are serious about these matters? What is it that you focused on? We are an unserious people. Government to end water and sewage contract. PM canceled Petty's daughter's water and sewage corporation deal. We are an unserious people. And I want to know, when are we going to start taking this thing called governance seriously? Everybody is partying. Everybody is having a good time. In fact, I liken it to, I like this analogy I like to draw, which is, we, the Bahamas, we put on a play every day. Every day we invite tourists and foreigners to come and watch the play. Every day you can find us, those, the most important of us, sitting in the front row waiting for the play to start, because we've forgotten that we are responsible for hosting the play. We are responsible for the acting. We're responsible for the lights. We're responsible for cleaning the theater, for selling the tickets, for selling the concessions. All of that, that's us. We in the front row waiting for the show to start. We got to get serious, Bahamas. Thank you for joining me on the clock today, November the 14th, 2023. Stay tuned. C.A. Newry, Guardian Radio, AM is up next. I hear another storm coming, another big event. Hurricane Bunna Boy. Let's see if it actually reaches the shores of the Bahamas. You guys have a great day. Stay tuned. 96.9 FM.
Said I'll huff and I'll puff, I'll blow your house down. I'll huff and I'll puff, I'll wipe out your town.